Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Blood Runs Coal, The Yablonski Murders and the Battle for the United Mine Workers of America, is a work of narrative nonfiction and labor history by Mark A. Bradley. It reconstructs the 1969 murders of union reformer Joseph Jock Yablonski, his wife, and daughter, and places those killings within the broader struggle over control of the United Mine Workers of America. The book examines how corruption inside the union, especially under President Tony Boyle, collided with rank-and-file efforts to democratize labor leadership. Rather than treating the murders as an isolated crime, Bradley connects them to election fraud allegations, internal union politics, federal labor law, and the social power of the coal industry. The result is both a true crime account and a history of organized labor in a period of major upheaval. Its purpose is to show how one violent episode exposed structural abuses and helped trigger a significant reform movement within American unionism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Yablonski murders as a true crime event rooted in union politics. The central narrative begins with the brutal killing of Jock Yablonski, his wife, and daughter in Clarksville, Pennsylvania, on New Year's Eve 1969. Bradley does not present the murders as random violence or a purely sensational crime. Instead, he establishes a clear political motive tied to Yablonski's challenge to the incumbent UMWA leadership. This framing matters because it shifts the reader's attention from the mechanics of the homicide to the power struggle that made the violence possible. The book uses the crime scene, the timeline of events, and the eventual manhunt to show how personal danger grew out of institutional corruption. That approach gives the book the structure of a procedural while keeping its focus on labor politics. The murders become the most dramatic expression of a union culture in crisis, where dissent could be answered with intimidation, fraud, and ultimately lethal force. This makes the book more than a murder investigation. It becomes a study of how political control inside a major institution can corrupt every layer of behavior. Secondly, Tony Boyle and the problem of corrupt union leadership. A major analytical thread in the book is the portrait of Tony Boyle as a union president who had concentrated power while serving interests far removed from the rank and file. Bradley presents Boyle as a leader marked by embezzlement, suppression of internal dissent, and close alignment with big coal rather than ordinary miners. That corruption is not merely background detail. It explains why Yablonski's reform campaign was so threatening and why union democracy became such an urgent issue. By examining Boyle's leadership style, the book shows how a labor organization can lose legitimacy when its officials stop representing the people they are meant to serve. The significance goes beyond one man's misconduct. Boyle becomes a case study in the dangers of entrenched leadership, especially in closed institutions with weak accountability. Bradley's treatment also helps readers understand why reform movements often face fierce resistance. They are not just replacing personalities, but challenging systems of patronage, control, and silence. The book therefore reads as a warning about the institutional consequences of unaccountable authority. Thirdly, the 1969 election fight and the struggle for union democracy. One of the book's most important themes is the contested 1969 UMWA election and the broader campaign to make the union more democratic. Yablonski ran against Boyle on a reform slate associated with Miners for Democracy, arguing that the union needed honest elections and a greater voice for members. Bradley emphasizes that the election itself was deeply compromised, with allegations of fraud and manipulation shaping the reformers' view of the outcome. This part of the book matters because it shows that the murders were connected to a wider political dispute over how unions should function. The stakes were not simply who would hold office, but whether working people had a real means of influencing leadership. The narrative traces how Yablonski and his allies tried to use internal remedies, then legal and public channels, to challenge the result. That makes the book an account of institutional reform under pressure. It also demonstrates that democracy inside organizations is not abstract theory. It depends on procedures, enforcement, and the willingness of members and outsiders to confront abuse. Fourthly, federal labor law, the Justice Department, and the limits of institutional response. Bradley gives substantial attention to the legal and bureaucratic struggle that followed Yablonski's challenge. The book shows how reformers sought help from federal labor authorities and how difficult it was to translate allegations of election abuse into meaningful action. This dimension gives the book a broader civic relevance because it examines the gap between legal rights on paper and effective enforcement in practice. The narrative suggests that labor law alone cannot guarantee fairness if agencies are indifferent, delayed, or constrained by political pressures. After the murders, the effort to expose the election as illegitimate moved through internal union channels, the Department of Labor, and the press. That long process reveals how accountability often requires persistence across multiple institutions. Bradley's account is especially useful because it does not idealize the state as an immediate solution, but it also does not dismiss legal remedies. Instead, it shows the contested terrain where unions, regulators, lawyers, and journalists all played roles in uncovering the truth. The book, therefore, functions as a case study in how reform works when formal institutions are slow to respond. Lastly, labor history, coal power, and the wider significance of the case, beyond the specific crimes, the book situates the story in the history of coal mining, labor struggle, and the changing politics of industrial America. Bradley underscores that the UMWA was not just another organization, but a powerful institution with deep influence over working conditions, community life, and the economics of coal country. By placing the Yablonski case in this larger setting, the book explains why the events mattered far beyond Pennsylvania. The murders helped trigger a rank-and-file takeover that became a landmark in modern union history, showing that grassroots pressure could defeat entrenched leadership even after extreme violence. This historical framing is one of the book's greatest strengths. It turns a true crime narrative into a broader reflection on labor democracy, institutional decay, and the social cost of extractive industry power. Readers come away with a clearer understanding of how coal, unions, and political authority were intertwined in late 20th century America. The book is therefore as much about systems and consequences as it is about a single notorious crime. In conclusion, Blood Runs Cold will appeal most strongly to readers interested in labor history, American political corruption, true crime rooted in real institutions, and the coal industry's social power. It is also a strong choice for readers who want a history book that reads with the pacing of a procedural without sacrificing accuracy or context. Its main value lies in how it connects one violent case to broader questions about union democracy, accountability, and the limits of official oversight. That combination makes it more substantial than a conventional murder account and more readable than a specialized labor study. Readers who know little about the United Mine Workers of America will gain a clear entry point into a pivotal chapter of union politics, while readers already familiar with labor history will appreciate the detailed reconstruction of how reformers confronted a closed and corrupt system. What distinguishes the book is its ability to treat the Yablonski murders simultaneously as a crime, a political crisis, and a turning point in organized labor. It shows how one event can expose the weaknesses of an entire institution and help reshape it. If you would like to support Mark A. Bradley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.